Ryan Carlton on Triple M.
It's a little warning if you've got kids in the car or around the radio. This is a I would suggest a properly adults only topic, and involves certain sensitivity. So if you have kids around, it might be a good idea just to flip off and listen to the doof doof for 5 minutes and come back. The woman I'm about to talk to was one of the bravest humans I've ever met, and I have met her personally. Her name is Tamika Ridgway. And I won't go into it in massive detail, but I need to explain the context here. She was gang raped by a guy called Jamie John Curtis. She was tortured with a chainsaw, locked in the boot of a car while her fiancé was stabbed to death. Somehow she survived. Somehow. Her murderer, Jamie John Curtis, was released from prison this year. I spoke to Tamika Ridgway in connection with his impending release and imploring the authorities not to do it. As is often the case, there was no mechanism by which to keep him in prison any longer than he already was. Tamika has teamed up with the sister of a murdered rape victim, Anne Marie Cullerton. Her name is Eileen Cullerton. This, again, a horrible, horrible crime. I won't go through it in massive detail. Google it if you'd like, Eileen Cullerton. And you'll see details of this national campaign that is attempting to have a mandatory life sentence for no parole, with no parole. In other words, once you're in jail, you go to jail forever for rapist murderers. I have Tamika on the phone. Tamika Ridgway, hi, how are you?
Hi, Brian. I'm good. How are you?
I'm really well. You have decided to become activist in a big way on this. Talk to me about what you're planning and why we need a change in law, Tamika.
Yes, so I've joined together with Eileen Cullerton. As you just mentioned, she's the sister of Anne Marie Cullerton, who was raped and murdered. So her murderer received a life sentence and was released on parole, and breached his parole not once, but six times. So each time he breached, the parole board decided to give him another chance. As you're probably aware, that murderer rapists across the country have been given parole and committed really serious offences while they've been on parole. So we've joined together to try and push this bill through Parliament to protect the women of the country, really. Well, not just the women, but the general public.
I was going to ask you about that. Well, we'll get to that detail in a minute. One thing that was painfully clear from your case is that the aforementioned Jamie John Curtis was assessed as, look, this bloke has a psychopathy. He is has multiple psychopathic traits, according to his own psychiatrist, an incurable personality disorder. Unable to be rehabilitated, and yet we have a legal framework that doesn't recognise any of those assessments. Now, these are a proper psychiatric assessments, don't recognise any of them very much, to the extent that an individual with that set of characteristics can be released from prison having committed the offences that were committed.
Yeah, it's unbelievable, isn't it? It's just really hard to fathom that the parole board can then release him on parole.
Yeah.
And that's, put him in the community. He's an absolute threat and danger. Like, these laws need to be reformed. It's time.
And
Australia has a national crisis of violence against women.
Yeah.
So one in five women are sexually assaulted and one woman a week is murdered.
Tamika, you're trying to get a change in law here in Tasmania as a springboard almost for national law reform in this space. Have you had any success talking to government about this? Because it's, there's a fundamental concept in our legal system that you do the crime, you do your time, and you get out. This would kind of overturn that based on the seriousness of the offences. I don't think too many people have a problem with it, but you going to have a hard time convincing the legislators that it's a good idea. How do you do that?
Yeah, I don't have a problem with parole, but it's not for everybody. There are some offenders that shouldn't be given the opportunity to have parole and reoffend. So I've met with the Attorney General, Elise Archer, and she's supporting this. So at the moment, she's working with her team to see what she can do to help table this bill in Parliament.
Well, that's a massive step forward. If you have the support of the Chief Law Officer, which is what Elise Archer is in her role as Attorney General here in Tassie, and she's obviously a member of government, that's a really good step. That's a big step.
Yes, it's very exciting. We're very pleased that she's supporting this, and now we need to get the community behind it. And we have a petition that the community can sign if they go to change.org. And look for the petition Life for Rapist Murderers. They can also show their support by signing the petition. And wouldn't it be fantastic if Tasmania was the first state in the country to pass this law?
Again, I don't think too many of what I call the 98% of people who are the good folk who care and give a damn and take these sorts of things seriously. I don't think most people would have a problem with it, to be honest. Somebody of that kind of profile, I'm referring to Curtis here, is much better, not in the community than in the community. I'm sure you would absolutely agree with that. Okay, let's just be really clear about what we're talking about here. So it'd be a mandatory life sentence for rape and murder, not just rape, both.
Yeah, so a crime that's committed as rape and murder at the moment, sexual assault is treated as a secondary aggravating factor of murder, but we would like to see both of those acts treated as and sentenced as the one crime. Life with no parole.
Okay.
And a mandatory sentence.
And obviously you'd have a struggle getting laws like that up if they were gender specific. So would it work in the gender reverse as well?
Yes, I think so. Yeah. Yeah, yeah. So, yeah, we're not aiming for a gender specific law. But
so yeah, if a woman or a group, this is very extremely rare, but if a woman or a group of women were to rape and murder a man, they'd be subject to the same laws?
Absolutely, yeah.
Okay.
Like you say, it's very rare, but yeah, it would work in reverse as well.
Okay. One other observation I'd make, having covered too many of these cases over too many years, is the excuses that come up in court in terms of mitigation. So, for example, the poor offender has a long history of drug abuse, therefore he should get a reduced sentence, or there should be some consideration given by the court. To me, that's an aggravating thing, not a mitigating thing. If you get off your nut on something deliberately and then go off and commit horrible crimes, the fact that you got off your nut before you did so shouldn't be seen as are creating a lesser offence. It should aggravate the offence, not mitigate against it. I'd like to see that changed in law in this area.
Yeah, you're right. Yeah, there are too many factors that will help reduce sentences and see offenders get off. So there needs to be a huge shake-up and law reform. Yeah, let's see how we go in Tassie. Let's be the first state to push this through.
Okay. Tamika, I called you the bravest woman I've ever met. I that's absolutely true to date, and I hope I never have to meet anyone braver than you again. Thank you for your time, and we'll put a link off to the change.org petition on the Triple M website today when we post this.
Great. Thank you, Brian.
Thanks, Tamika. Appreciate your time today. Best of luck. She is an extraordinary woman. Trust me, 8:02 now. This is Triple M. After the 8 o'clock news, I will get into that email that I've received from a member of the group that's privy to the information about the possible changes to the Mount Wellington cable car. Hang on there.
Hobart, 6 a.m. weekdays. Brian Carlton, The Spoon Man on 107.3 Triple M.